One of the sons of David, young man by the name of Absalom, very handsome fellow. And I think his handsomeness went to his head. He was a conceited young man. He was an arrogant young man. He was the king's son. Eventually, he became so conceited, he became so arrogant that he felt that he needed to be the king. And he had stolen the hearts of the men of the kingdom, many of them. And he prepared to stage an untimely coup against the king. You see, he wanted to be the king so badly that he decided that he was going to take over the kingdom of his father. And he was going to eliminate his father. He was going to take the life of, now you're talking about a son. This was one of David's favorite sons. But he was a proud, arrogant, haughty, conceited rascal. Consider with me this passage of scripture, which is written following the death of Absalom. His daddy had told his commanding officers, when you find him, deal gently with the young man. At this particular point, because of the overriding sovereignty and providence of God, the rebellion had been put down. The coup had been thwarted. Absalom was no longer one who posed a threat to his father and his father's kingdom. He had been defeated and his forces routed. He had been vanquished and he had been neutralized. Now, Absalom has been crushed. The general sent a message to David to let him know what the final results were of the battle in the woods of Ephraim. He sent two messengers, one Ahimaaz, the other Cushai, a black man. And the commanding military officer did not want to send the message by Ahimaaz. He wanted to send it just by Cushai, but Ahimaaz begged the military general. He said, please let me go. I want to go and give the king the message. I want to tell him what has happened to his son, but he was not ready. Why do you want to run if you have no tidings ready? You know, there's a lesson for us there. A lot of times we want to run with the message. We want to tell people about the gospel of Christ, how Jesus died for our sins and was buried and was resurrected. We want to tell people how to become a Christian. We want to tell people how to be saved from their sins. We want to tell people what the church is all about. We want to tell people how to live the Christian life. We want to communicate the message of salvation, but oftentimes we want to run without tidings, want to run without proper preparation. We want to run without really getting ourselves together and without getting the tidings ready. The commanding military officer, he wanted Cushai to run and to take the message to King David. 2 Samuel 18, 31 through 33. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, "Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee." And the king said unto Cushai, and this shall serve as the specific title of our lesson. The king said unto Cushai, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" He was quite concerned, quite solicitous about the welfare, about the safety of his son. So he asked, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" Now, he had already told his commanding officers, "Deal gently with the young man." Cushai answered with an answer that was unanticipated and undesired by the king. He said, "The enemies of my lord the king, and all they that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is." He was quite diplomatic in the way he broke the news to the king. Of course, the king knew exactly what that meant. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, my son." One of the most moving scenes recorded in sacred literature. And it's unfortunate that David was so caught up in affection for his son that he could wish that he had died in the place of his son. He asked Cushai, the messenger, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" That's what we want to talk to you about. Is the young man Absalom safe? And we could articulate that question in reference to his physical safety. David was referring to his physical safety. We could ask that question in reference to his emotional and psychological safety. Commensurately, we could have asked that question insofar as his spiritual concern or his spiritual welfare was concerned. Oftentimes, if individuals are not safe spiritually, if they are not safe emotionally or mentally, that means in great likelihood they are not safe physically. If they're not safe emotionally, if they're not safe spiritually, they put themselves in grave peril, and they're not safe on that level. Is the young man Absalom safe? Obviously, he was not, because he was dead. He had lost his life in a very despicable and inglorious fashion. Y'all remember how he lost his life? He was riding on his mule, going under a great tree. Apparently, he wasn't paying close attention. And so his head got caught in the boughs of one of those trees. He was dead. When his head got caught between the limbs of the tree, he apparently was knocked out by the force of the impact of his head. And when he was discovered, the military officials finished him off. They got him, they threw darts within his heart, and they killed him. Absalom was not safe. But we need to go back in time, prior to this particular period, and ask, in Absalom's early life, was he safe? And if he was not safe, what were some of the things made him unsafe in his early life? We can ask ourselves, just like it was asked of Absalom, our young men. Are our young men safe? Are they safe spiritually? Are they safe emotionally? Are they safe physically? We become particularly concerned about the safety, the security, and the welfare of our young men. And I speak of young men in general, but I also speak in particular about young black men, young African American men. Are they safe? We speak about not only young African American men, but we speak about young Christian men, young men who are members of the body of Christ. Are they safe? It depends. It depends on a number of different factors in determining if they're safe. Now, on a spiritual level, basically you are safe if you have found refuge in the family of God. If you have found refuge in the church. And we need to let our young people know that it does make a difference. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So if you're talking about spiritual safety, you can't have spiritual safety no matter how much you think you are safe physically, or no matter how much you think you are safe on an emotional or intellectual or mental level. If you are not in Christ, you are not safe spiritually. And you are flirting with disaster spiritually. When it comes to our African-American young men, one of the things that parents become very concerned about these days is we think about their safety out on the streets. We think about their safety when it comes to them being stopped by law enforcement officials. You know, the disproportionate number of African-American young men who have been killed at the hands of quick-triggered police officers has spawned, whether fairly or unfairly, objectively or not, the Black Lives Matter program. And I know Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. And we need to know that the black lives of our black sons and black daughters matter. But But now black lives are not the only lives that matter. You know, every life matters. The blue lives matter. White lives matter. Yellow lives matter. Red lives matter. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. So all lives matter. All souls matter. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So all souls matter, all lives matter. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All souls, all lives matter. So we tell our young men over at Schrader not too long ago, they had a special sort of a seminar. Part of it was targeting young black men, telling them how to respond when you are stopped by a police officer. There are some things you need to do to ensure your safety, and there are some things you need to refrain from doing. When I get stopped, I'm very cautious. I don't make no sudden moves. I don't take my hands out of sight. I put my hands up on the top of the steering wheel. And when the police officer comes, I always have my window rolled down and say, like my daddy, Ben Jones, used to say, look at the officer and say, officer, have I violated the law? Is Mr. Jones, did you see that stop sign? Yes, sir. Did you stop? I thought I did. Won't be like a friend of mine in Memphis. I was riding with her and her husband, and she was driving. And she pulled up to a stop sign, slowed down, and kept going. And her husband said, Lillian, you ran that stop sign. She said, no, I didn't, Ralph. He said, yes, you did. I saw you run that stop sign. She said, I stopped. She said, my wheels might not have stopped turning, but I stopped. Lillian knew better than that. But you want to be respectful. You want to be cordial. And your safety is preserved under those particular circumstances. Your safety is preserved. If you want to remain safe, there are certain things you need to do and need to refrain from doing. And we're going to look at some other things. But I just wanted to give that as an illustration of how the safety of our young people can be imperiled if we are reckless in our responses. If we are disrespectful and dismissive of authority, it can place us in great danger. A lot of folks, had they responded differently, would still be alive today. If you want to be safe spiritually, you need to be in the body of Jesus Christ. If you want to be safe physically, there are certain guidelines you need to follow. If you want to be safe emotionally, there are certain guidelines you want to be followed, that you want to make sure that you follow. Absalom was spoiled by his father. No two ways about it, he was spoiled. His good looks also served as a liability that eventually imperiled his safety. Notice the description of him given in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. At 2 Samuel 14, 25. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. There were no birthmarks, no scars, no acne, no moles. No blemish on him at all. Pretty boy. Good looking fellow. But that served to undermine his safety. When we look at the question, are our Absaloms safe today? I want to suggest that there are some circumstances and conditions under which our young men are not safe. Consider this, number one. The young man is not safe when he lives in an environment where permissive and indulgent parenting is practiced. That was the case with Absalom. After he had his brother killed, murdered, he received no punishment at all from the hands of his father. No sharp disapproval. He did not discipline him at all. He was indulged. He was allowed, literally, to get away with murder. He was given everything he wanted as the king's son. Somebody said, give a boy and a pig everything they want. You'll have a good pig and a bad boy. I concur. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. David, his father, is the only man in the Bible about whom is said, he was an individual who had a heart for God. He was a man after God's own heart. But David didn't pass on this godly legacy to his children, particularly to his son Absalom. Number two, when a young man harbors and practices a pernicious spirit of rebellion, like Absalom rebelled against his father, he places himself in serious peril. That's how he lost his life, because he rebelled against his father and against his father's kingdom. And the commanding officers of the king had no choice. They had no alternative but to take him out. They had to kill him. Number three, when a young man surrounds himself with wild and unscrupulous companions, he places himself in serious danger. We need to be very careful who our young people, men and women, who our young people hang out with, who they run with, who they spend a lot of time with, who are their Facebook friends, who are their closest and most intimate companions. Because 1 Corinthians 15, 33 is still accurate. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Proverbs 13 and verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Number four, when a young man embraces a sexually promiscuous lifestyle, he removes himself from a protected safety zone and places himself in a realm where physical, emotional, and spiritual health are in grave danger. Number five, when young men are allowed to develop a cozy relationship with booze and drugs, they are starting on a downward and slippery path that leads to ultimate perdition and destruction. When young men are given unfettered and unrestricted access to the internet, their safety is seriously compromised. But we need to do everything we can to ensure the safety of our children. Question: what can we do to fortify and safeguard our young men from the perils of modern life? How can we immunize them against the pernicious and pervasive forces of sin, evil, and carnality? How to keep the young man safe? It's not real difficult. It's challenging, but it's something that can be done. It can be done. The inculcation of the Word of God into the hearts of young men goes a long way in safeguarding them from evil influences and dangers of the world. Psalm 119 and verse 11 provides the key to maintaining the overall safety of our young men, our young Absalom. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And we start with them in the high chair. When they are drawn from the breast, when they are weaned, we need to be teaching them, training them from the various, very earliest stages of life. And we still need to follow the Old Testament pattern given in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 5 through 9 in order to keep our young men safe. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You know, one of the things that imperiled the safety of Absalom was a poor example by his father, David. Poor parenting, permissive parenting, indulgent parenting by David. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. We have to have the Word of God in our hearts as parents. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down. When thou risest up, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Is your young man safe? Is your daughter safe, spiritually, emotionally, mentally? Are they safe physically? We take all kind of precautionary measures in order to ensure the physical safety of our young people and of ourselves. We get in our cars, we buckle our seat belts, we follow the rules of the road. We follow the speed limits and all of the other rules of the road because we want to ensure our safety. When we go into our homes, we have security systems. We will set the alarm. We will lock our doors. We will lock our windows because we want to secure the safety of ourselves and of our families. And that's good. But even more significantly, more importantly, we need to do whatever we can to ensure the safety of our children spiritually. There might be some young person in the audience today who is not safe spiritually by virtue of them not being a part of the Church of Christ, not being a part of the family of God, not having gained entrance into Christ. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, I therefore endure all things for the elect's sake, that they too might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. If you want to be safe, you need to be in Jesus. If you want to be safe, you need to be in Christ. And to be in Jesus, to be in Christ, is the same as being in the church of Christ, because he is the head of it. And he is the savior of the body. And if you are not in his family, not in his church today, why not become a part of it today? Through hearing the gospel of Christ, how he died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried and how he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures, all for your sins and mine, to bring about and make available, make possible our salvation. You've heard that good news of the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. And submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And then follow the advice that is given in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. If you develop the profile of the godly man that set forth in Psalm 1, you'll be safe, your children will be safe, the males as well as the female. Will you obey the Lord today? If you're here and you're already a child of God, but you have departed from the tested path of truth, you have fallen by the wayside, and currently your spiritual wealth